Huh? Oh, you gotta do this. Uh-oh. Oh, you got a crew. Y'all taking this TV thing too far. All right. Okay, are we live?
Yes, sir.
All right, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
That's God is good all the time in Hebrew, okay? It's kind of become the chant of S4C.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna get started here. We're gonna have, I keep wanting to call you officer, but you're actually your minister. Yes. When you're here, you're minister.
Amen.
Okay.
I'll be whatever you okay. call me.
Okay. Pray us in, minister.
You wanna give me a couple scriptures?
Ooh, this is gonna be long. No.
It is now.
Okay.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Then it says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this evening to look to you.
Amen.
To look to your word, to look to you, Father, that you would guide us and lead us, sharpen us through the teaching of your word through Pastor Sandy. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would anoint this message. Lord, we're praying for those who have yet to receive you. We're praying that tonight they would receive you as Lord and Savior. We're praying for those who maybe have shipwrecked their faith, that they're no longer afloat with you, being moved by the winds of the Holy Spirit, but they've hit the rocky shores and they're no longer moving forward doing your work. God, we're praying that you would grant repentance, get them back on the boat with you, to be led by you, steered by you, going forth building your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we're praying, Lord, for our people tonight, all over the world, that you would provide for them, protect them. Let tonight your joy, your strength, and your hope be made manifest through this word through Pastor Sandy. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right. Well, shalom, everybody. Welcome all of our online family, thank you. God bless you for being here. I had a card on Sunday, Pastor Ben. No, I don't have it. But I am going to find it for tomorrow, okay? All right, so if we're going to get started in this, we're going to have to, you're going to have to start on page 5. I'm sorry, because we're not going to be able to start on page 1. Because the Lord's directing me to give this whole study a base, okay? Yes. So if you have your notes, go all the way to page 5, and we're going to learn something here. Now, there is a scripture. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. Let's go there. Hallelujah for new glasses. Okay. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 5, it says this: He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. So who is he talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel. And he's telling them, I'm going to bring you, he says, he will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers. Now, this is a problem for the church, because a lot of people growing up don't even know that Israel came back into the land in 1948. They have no idea that Israel was kicked out of the land and that God said that they would return to the land. So for them to hear about the nation of Israel coming back into Israel in 1948, the exact year that God prophesied they would, even though they had been gone for 2,520, but to have ownership of the land and to move back into the land in 1948 was a prophecy that God made come true in front of the whole world. When it came true, God said, when you see this happens, know that this is the last generation, okay? So since 1948, the world's been on the last generation of mankind. And God has been counting down, because Jesus Christ is the one who said, this generation shall not pass until this whole book, until all these things be fulfilled. Until he returns on a cloud, he says, this prophecy will not pass. What prophecy? The fig tree generation. Who's the fig tree? The nation of Israel. Israel's going to come back into their land. Israel came back into the land, and most of the world at that time celebrated, especially Christians. Christians were at the Orthodox synagogue. The lady, the Jewish lady who befriended me, said that Christians were so excited about Israel, about the Jews going back to Israel. It's like they were more excited than the Jews were, because we knew that it was a prophecy, and when that prophecy came true, it solidified the Bible that the nation of Israel had been controlled and God has brought them back into the land. Now, the year in Israel for that year was 5708. The year for us was 1948. So, this scripture that says that Israel is going to return back to the land, it's the 5,708th verse of the Torah before the canonization. So, 5,708 equals the exact year of 1948. So, God was already saying in 1948 they're going to come back into the land, but on the Hebrew clock is going to be the year 5,708. And so God had already prophesied. And here it is, in the book of Deuteronomy, God is prophesying. So that means this, look, that means that if God placed it in Deuteronomy at the 5,708th verse, that means that God is counting the years in the book of Deuteronomy according to the Hebrew calendar. But then we get to, let's go to Psalms 48. Then we get to Psalms 48. And it starts talking about, great is the Lord, most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress, because Israel returned in 1948. Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible, 48th chapter. So now you say, wait a minute, God put it in the 5,708th verse in the Torah, but in the book of Psalms, he made sure that it's in the 19th book and the 48th chapter. So that should tell us that God knows both calendars, okay? And since God knows both calendars, we have to know and understand how he's prophesying and who he's prophesying to, because both the calendars are lined up prophesying to the world about what's going to happen. So we watched it happen, and I wanted to go back and look and see if I was talking about a worldwide judgment in 2020, and I was talking about it in the beginning of, at the end of 2018, that in the 120th year, there would be a worldwide judgment. Now that worldwide judgment, I was thinking to be the rapture, and then the whole world would be under one judgment. But in the 120th year, which was 2020, we expected a worldwide judgment. And that worldwide judgment came. And the whole world witnessed the whole world being under siege and being controlled. And the book of Psalms in chapter 120 says what? Deliver us from lies. So the whole thing was all orchestrated, and we sat here, and then as it continued happening, people were getting more excited. The Lord must be coming. Why? Because something's happening. Okay? Amen. We got to 2021, and then God starts showing us other things. And what did he show us? In 2021 was the craziest thing that happened, and I watched it again the other day, because Jesus says, concerning, you will receive no sign except for the sign of Jonah, right?
Oh, yeah.
So all of a sudden, out of all the years on the planet, no one has ever heard of a man getting swallowed and spit out by a whale, but it happened in 2021. So it's like the Lord speaking to us saying, look, I'm trying to tell you, you just had a worldwide judgment. Now a man has been spit out by a whale, okay? Like in the book of Jonah, okay? And then on the 9th of Av, things started happening. And God had me to say, it's not going to happen this month, it's going to happen that month. And then it happened on the 9th of Av, the whole Afghanistan thing. Then I said, 1 week later, it's going to happen in Israel. And it happened. God was just showing me, see, you have the worldwide judgment, you got this guy getting spit out by a whale, you got the 9th of Av event happening. And then a week later, you have the event happening in the land of Israel, just as the Bible directed you. So try to catch on, like to the world. Try to catch on and don't forget. Because what we do is like 9/11, soon as it goes away, our thoughts of it go away and we forget that something incredible happened that God wants us to remember. You understand?
Amen.
And God don't want you to just go, oh, well, we're back to normal. He wants to say, where are we in prophecy if things are happening like this, okay? So, on this page, it says that now, today, in 2021, 2022, I think I taught you guys about how the years are starting September in Israel, right? So that means that, you know, September to September is the Hebrew calendar. And for us, it's Nisan to Nisan, because I'm not getting into January for nobody. So, in the book of Genesis, if you look on page 5, you had a certain amount of chapters. In the book of Exodus, you had a certain amount of chapters. In the book of Leviticus, you had a certain amount of chapters. In the book of Numbers, had a certain amount of chapters, but it was missing one. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, it had a certain amount of chapters. And then as we did a full study on that and prophesying, the numbers that came out was 71, which is the Holy Spirit, 888, which is Jesus Christ, the new beginning, and 153, which is the church. Okay? So studying the first five books, it told us what? That 5782, the conclusion of it will be the coming together of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and the church. And so as we went through that scriptures, those scriptures, and we said, okay, 5782 is a very important year. It's an important year because in both cases, God is letting us know that this year, which 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 2 is what? 22. We got more stuff. I mean, God gave more stuff this week. It's like God has like been planning 2022 for a long time. And I'll show you what Donald Reagan sent me, but I don't know if I'll be able to unless I look at my phone because I didn't write it down from the email. But it's very interesting, okay? So now, if you're still on page 5, this is what it says. So that the generation to come of the children that shall rise up after you and the strangers that shall come from the land shall say, when they see the plague of the land and the sickness of which the land is, it has been punished. So in the beginning of it, it says in the last, it says in the Hador Acharon, in the last generation, people are going to come to the land of Israel and say, what happened here? How did this land become so dry and brittle and no one's able to live here? Why hasn't it rained here in so long? Do you know it hadn't rained there in a long time? Nobody wanted to move there until, nobody wanted Israel until the UN gave it back to the Jewish people. It was dry, waste, desert land, nothing. But God had promised you're going to come back. And what else did he promise? When you come back, he says he's going to make the land fruitful, okay? And that's what happened. So let's go to page 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 5, is the 5,708th verse of the Torah, and that's for 1948. Declaration of Independence, all of that. But then we wanted to see, is God using Deuteronomy to follow each year by year? So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9, would be 5712, which is 1952. And the prophecy was this. Let's go there, Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9. You there? All right, here it says. It says, the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands. He says, like, after I bring you back, I'm going to make you prosperous in all the works of your hand. And it says, and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land, the Lord will again delight. Did you hear that? He says, the livestock, and he says, and the crops of your land, the Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous just as he delighted in your fathers. Now, that verse would be for the year 1952. What happened in 1952? Abraham Avihai was born in Toronto, grew up there, but in January of, he was born in 1931, but he was an agricultural life scientist. All of a sudden in 1952, him and his wife decide to move back to Israel. And he helped him with the agriculture of the land. So Deuteronomy chapter 9 says that the land is going to be prosperous, but he doesn't move back until 1952, which is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9. You understand? So God is following the book of Deuteronomy, but he's using the Hebrew numbers, which is 5712. So in 5727, would be 19 years after 1947. So in 5727 is 1967. What's supposed to happen in 1967? 19 years after. Jerusalem is supposed to return. How do we know that? 2 Kings. I'm going to read it. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 25. Verse 9. Or verse 8. It says, on the seventh day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the house at Jerusalem. Every important building was burnt down. So Jerusalem got destroyed, what, 19 years later. So and if they became rebirthed again in 1948, that means 19 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed, so they come back into existence upon the planet 19 years apart. Amen. And so they get Jerusalem back, but now let's look in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 31, verse 23. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 31, verse 3 and 4. Well, actually, it's in chapter 4. And it says, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, whom he destroyed with their land. Okay. So these two kings were controlling Jerusalem at the time, Jerusalem, and they were controlling, it was all the areas that they gained back in the 67 war. So they controlled, Sihon and Og controlled the Golan Heights, the West Bank, what they call it today, East Jerusalem, Gaza, and the Sinai Peninsula. So they controlled Jerusalem. Okay. Here it says that God's going to fight a war against them and give them back the land. He did that. But now here it is in 1967, 19 years later, and it shows in the scripture that the same land that you won back in the ancient times, you're going to win it back again 19 years later. And it happened exactly the way the Bible said. They gave them back the exact same land that Sihon and Og had taken from them in an earlier war. So the Bible what the Bible is doing is it's following Deuteronomy, but that's the year 5727. Then 5746 would be 1984. They had what they call the Moses, Operation Moses, where they were starting to go to Ethiopia and bring Jews back from all over the world. Rather, they were in Sephardic Jews or wherever Jews were in the world, they start bringing Jews back. Well, in chapter 31, verse 28, the scripture is a declaration that he's going to start bringing the Jews back to the land. So God is following a pattern in the book of Deuteronomy, showing you year by year what's going to happen. So now, when you get to 2021, do you think God stopped counting? Or do you think he's still prophesying everything year by year? And he started he started before 1948, because I could actually go back and show you the Holocaust in Deuteronomy, the whole 6 years. And so he started counting every year in Deuteronomy, but he's using the Hebrew numbers, okay? Now, is he doing the same thing in the book of Psalms? Yes, he's doing the exact same thing in the book of Psalms. Only in the book of Psalms, he's using 1948 to, we'll say, 20, because this is the year we're interested in, 2021, right? In the Hebrew Bible, he's using 5708, which is the Jewish year. And then for our year that's coming, that's here now, is 5782. Okay? This is a great favor. God is like, I'm going to do you guys a favor. Okay? You've been lied to so long. I'm going to show you that in Deuteronomy, I told you when the end was. And in Psalms, I told you when the end was. Okay? And then if you believe God, you'll prepare yourself and be ready to go when the trumpet sounds. If you don't believe God, you'll be waiting for a sign. And God's like, you're not going to get a sign. You've got all the signs you're going to get. A guy got spit out of a well in 2021. That's all. That's okay. The world got shut down in 2020, and a guy got spit out of a well in 2022. That's all the signs you're getting. So we have to go by. There comes a time where you have to go by the word of God and not by signs. Amen. Okay. Go over to page 7 of your notes. And that's Deuteronomy 32, verse 28. And that's for the year of 2021. And we're going to go 2021, 2020, and 2021. Okay? So that would be Deuteronomy 32. You're in Deuteronomy 32. And we're in the scripture 28. Okay, this is what it says. They are a nation without sense. Okay, in the Hebrew in the King James it says they are a nation void of counsel. It says neither is there any understanding in them. In the NIV it says they are a nation without sense. There is no discernment in them. Now, when the Hebrew uses nation, it never uses the word goyim talking about the Jews. It said, so when it uses the name nation here, it's saying the nation has no sense. They have no discernment. They're unintelligent, okay? But it's not the word nation. It's the word goyim, which means Gentile nations. But he doesn't say nations. He says one particular nation has no common sense and no discernment, okay? So now I ask God, well, what one nation are you talking about? Because you're saying this goyim nation, this Gentile nation, has no intelligence, no discernment, no common sense. And he said the same nation that on the 9th of Av got struck by lightning in Washington, D.C. God did that for you. You don't remember that on the 9th of Av. Yeah. Not only did Afghanistan happen, the Washington Monument got struck by lightning and they lost all electricity. So God is like, it's the exact same nation. Because a lot of people don't understand, the leader in trying to bring about a one world government is the United States. And don't be thinking like I'm anti-American. I love America, okay? My brother fought in wars, everything. But the root of this place is not Jesus happy.
Amen.
The root of this place is not trying to bring about biblical prophecy. It's trying to bring about a demonic prophecy. So when they blew up the guide stones like the past week, all the Christians are celebrating. Because we know what was written on that. What was written on that? Reduce the world population to 500 million. That means you'd have to kill almost 7 billion people to reduce the world to 500 million. But this is in their plans. So understand, the nation you live in, yes, be proud of it. But the people that are behind it trying to bring about the Antichrist system are not from God. And their plan is to bring this nation into a one world government. Okay? So here we are. It says here in verse 29, if only they were wise. This is incredible. If it says, if only they were wise and would understand that this is their latter end. So it says they have no discernment, but only if they were smart and understood that this is their end. It's on the year for 2021. And remember, September to September 2021 of September started the year, and 2021 of the prophecy of that year ends 5782, but it lasts from September of 2021 to September of 2022. So we're in this whole prophecy year that God is saying, if only they were smart and knew that it was their latter end. Now look, I keep trying to tell you guys, there's not going to be a rapture warning. Jesus already told you that. You know what I mean? Because Christians are always waiting for the next big event so that they can get ready. But the scripture, Jesus says, it will be as a normal day. People will be eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage up till the day Noah entered the ark. It will be just like that. And it says, and they knew nothing about what would happen. And suddenly destruction came. Okay? So the rapture is not something that we should be sitting around going, we need to find out the next sign so we can get ready. The Bible's telling you, the scripture's telling you, you have something that's more tangible than a sign. You have the scriptures telling you. Okay. Now, that scripture is for 2021, 2022. Let's go to Psalms 121. This is going to be an incredible year, but it's going to be an incredible year because the Bible is about to do something. And when it happens, a lot of Christians are going to be surprised. Like, I didn't know we were that close. I had so many plans. It's only because the churches that they give us, and they give us churches, because we got 22 that are Freemason owned. What is Freemason doing buying churches? They want to control the narrative. Do you understand? So in those churches, you never hear nothing about Israel was reborn again. Shh. You never hear anything about the rapture. Shh. What do you hear about? Getting your breakthrough, your best life now. Because Satan is making sure that the message that you need to hear is not the message that you're going to get in church. So therefore, we get to Psalms 121, verse 1, okay? Now, we got these Bibles. Oh, you know, you guys know I just can't stand this English version of this scripture. Because first of all, there are 21 there are 15 Psalms of ascent. Ascent means what? Going up. There's only one Psalm of ascent that has a lament in it. And that lament is a verb, which means this is the year that the action happens. It's in Psalms 121, which is 2021, which is 5782. And what did God just tell us in 5782? If only they knew this was their latter end. Now you go to Psalms 1 and it gives you a lament, and it says, let me see here. Shir le ma'alot, and that's the song to the ascension. Okay, it says I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But the first verse that says, Shir le ma'alot, the whole first verse is a numerical value of 2220. Now, I wish I could say, don't pay attention to the numbers, just read the book, but that would be ignoring half of God. God made sure that that verse is 2220 because something's going to happen in that year of 5782. What does 2220 mean? The voice of God. But not just the voice of God, because you get the voice of God before. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 19. We get the voice of God. Here it is. Deuteronomy 19:19. And as soon as I get there, Pastor Ben, I'm going to tell you what verse. Because I know you're... Here we... 19... Deuteronomy 19, and I believe we started verse... Is it... Oh! Exodus. On Deuteronomy. Okay, Exodus 19:19. Sorry about that. Okay, now, what you're watching here in Deuteronomy 19 is a marriage that's about to happen between God and Israel, right? And God is letting them know how the marriage is supposed to take place, okay? First, he's telling them to be prepared for the third day, okay? So you're going to wait 1 day, 2 day, and then on the third day, you're going to be ready for what? For the wedding to happen. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years, a little bit over. We're early morning on the third day. We should be preparing for what? A wedding to happen, okay? So now these are the instructions because I want you to understand this, okay? I don't want to miss too much. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 10. And it says, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them to get today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on the third day, the Lord will come down. The Lord will come down, right? You hear that? The Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain to tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death. He shall surely be stoned and shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Rather, man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live if he just touches the mountain. It says, only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. So they are going to go up to the mountain, but what do they have to do? They have to wait till they hear the trumpet sound. When you hear the trumpet sound, then you can go up. God came down, now it's time for you to go up. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourself for the third day, abstain from relations with your wives. On the morning of the third day was thunder, lightning with thick clouds over the mountains and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Verse 17. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the front of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of Elohim answered him. You hear that? And the Kal Elohim, the voice of God. Numerical value, 222. So God made sure that that's there, so you know that when this ultimately happens, 2220, he puts it in Psalms 121 to say there's going to be an ultimate trumpet call, an ultimate voice of God. And we're not understanding this. We're not understanding that in Psalms 121, God placed an ascension and a voice calling up in Psalms 1, which completely matches Deuteronomy chapter 28, which says, if only they knew this was the letter in. So God is telling you two different books in two different ways on two different calendars, one on a Hebrew calendar and one on a Gentile calendar. I'm telling you the exact same thing's going to happen. Man. But we're waiting on a sign. A bigger sign than the word of God, you will not get it. Amen. And that's why Jesus wanted you to know that it will be a day like any other day. People will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Okay? The thing is not to wait on a sign. The thing is to be in relationship with Jesus Christ and be ready. That's what you want to do. Okay. I'm back on my page 7. Page 7. Okay, I'm still on my page 7. Okay. Let's see, what it say? Oh, listen to this. You see down where it says Psalms 121? I mean, 122 in that little box? It says, our feet have taken a stand within the gates of Jerusalem. Numerical value, 2028. 2028 is the end of the tribulation. So he's saying, look, the feet of the nation of Israel will take their stand in Jerusalem when? In 2028, when Jesus gets back, we will take over Jerusalem. So God put the beginning and he put the end in 2021 and 2022. Okay, let's go over to the next page. You see what I did on this page? Deuteronomy 32 verse 30. Okay. In that 29, it's in 5782 at Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, this is when it happens, Psalms 121. Then you have in Deuteronomy 32, verse 31, you have the year 2022 to 2023, because it'll be September to September, and it says in 2028 this whole thing will be over. So it's giving you the whole, all the events that are happening in those 7 years. Now, the crazy thing is this. It's giving you the 7 years of tribulation in these next 7 verses, but it's also giving you the 7 years of tribulation in Psalms 122 to 128 and 29. So God is taking both books to show you, I got the tribulation here, and I got the tribulation here in Psalms, so you can see that I'm matching the years, even though you're going by 1922 or 1948, or 2022, and we're going by 5782. Ours is September, so it's September. So it's still the same thing. But the favor that God is doing is, I'm giving you the whole story. I'm showing you how the tribulation is going to be. So here it is. Deuteronomy chapter, that's supposed to be 28:29. And it says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Who is the rock of Israel? Jesus. So the question is, how can anybody attack Israel unless the rock sells them? Unless Jesus allows the tribulation to happen, it could not have happened. So they're letting you know right away, The only reason this is happening to Israel is because their rock allowed it. The rock has sold them. Then in 2021 to 2023, it says, for their rock is not our rock. Whose rock? Who's their rock? Satan. Who's our rock? Jesus. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Then in 2023 to 2024, it says that's the middle of the tribulation, and their vine is the vine of Sodom, and their field Gomorrah, and their grapes are grapes of gall and clusters of bitter. So they're going through tough times because this is tribulation. I'm sorry, now I'm in 2024, 2025, Psalms 124, and it says their vine, their wine is the poison of dragons and cruel venom I still can't say that word, but it's the poison that comes out of a snake, right? So then that's in 2024, because it's talking about the middle of the tribulation, which of course Satan comes in the middle of the tribulation and attacks Israel and sits in the temple. Then in 2025, 2026, it says, is not this laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? In Psalms 126, which is for 2026 and 27, to me belongs vengeance, God says, and recompense, and their feet shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. This is almost the end of the tribulation. You hear what he's saying?
Yes.
And the things that shall come upon them shall make haste, meaning they will happen quickly. Then 2027 to 2028, it says this, the Lord shall judge his people. Remember, they're going to repent. The Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servant. And he says he will turn back from his judgment against his servant. When he sees that their power is gone, there is none shut up or left. Okay. And now in 2028, 2029, he says, he shall say, who's saying this? God. Where is their God? Their rock whom they trusted. He's speaking to the Antichrist. He said, now where's your rock and the God that you trusted? Because at that time, at the end of the tribulation, God is going to destroy them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if I go to Psalms 28 and 29, guess what it's going to start talking about? Jesus rescuing Israel and having its own children.
Yeah.
Okay. And sitting around at a table with the nation of Israel, his own people. In the same. So God used two different year patterns, two different books, and he's telling you the exact same story in the exact same scriptures so that you should be able to follow the pattern to see God is telling us when it begins and God's telling us when it ends. And guess what? There's 7 years between this coming year before Rosh Hashanah. There's 7 years between now and 2028, 2029, which is the end of the tribulation, which is Psalms 128 and 29, or Deuteronomy, the exact same year telling you when it's going to end. So God is just like, I'm doing you guys a favor. If you look at the Bible, you'll see that I've already told you what's going to happen. I didn't hide that Israel's going to be rebirthed and when the last generation would happen. I told you it would happen in 1948 several different ways. Okay? When it happened, the world should have known you're now in the last generation. We should start counting 70 years, then an additional 10 for 80. We should have started counting. The whole world should have started counting. Because I'm telling you, when it happens, it's going to be like, we had absolutely no idea that, and that's what Matthew says. They have no idea that it was coming upon them. They will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and they will have no idea what's about to happen, okay? Because it's going to look like a normal everyday.
Amen.
Okay. You did a good job on that, Pastor Ben. Now, here we go. How much time I got? All right, beautiful. Now, Now watch this. This is what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to talk about now. Okay, you see this? You see this here? Okay. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. Each numerical value. Each has a numerical value. Why is God putting numbers on everything? Because you can lie with words, but you can't lie with numbers. Numbers are going to tell you the story. That's why there's a 222 in Exodus and a 2220, meaning the ultimate of it, in Psalms. Okay? So now, watch this. Where's my eraser? I want you guys to see something. This number, 2220, is in Genesis. Wait a minute, it's in Psalms 121. Why is it in Genesis? Because the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 9 says, I tell you the end from the beginning. Meaning, I'm going to tell you everything that's going to happen in the beginning. But when I tell you in the beginning, I'm telling you the end time prophecy, but I'm going to tell it to you in the beginning. Watch this. Even as we look at this, Bereshit, right? Bar is son. Resh is head. Sheet is thorns. So you have like sun, thorns on his head. Shy, gift to man. You got so many words just in the word Bereshit. If you could separate that word and you would get thorns, you would get on a tree, all of that in one word. Because God is like, look, I'm prophesying to you about everything that's going to happen. The word of God is prophecy. Jesus says, the volume of the book is about me. Everything is about God's plan and what he's going to do. Rather, you want to be a part of it is dependent on your will and your will to submit and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to walk under that authority. Because you can accept him and say, okay, I accepted him and I go to church, but I don't walk under his authority. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. And therefore, cursing is going to still follow behind you. Christian never made you, going to church never made you a Christian. It's your personal life that made you a Christian.
Right.
It's the personal things that you do when you're not at church, okay? Joining a church never made anybody a Christian. God, but once God sees that contrite heart and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, he sees that heart and then he sees that you're chasing after him. And now he says, oh, now you're a Christian. You could have been going to church for years and never had a contrite heart and never had a desire to learn about God or move closer to God. You were just an usher.
That's right.
You was the best at it. But you were never a Christian, and God knew you weren't a Christian, right? And so God is like, if you're going to come into this, be in relationship so that you're ready, okay? So God put 2220 in Genesis. Okay, and 2220 tells us this is going to be the ultimate voice of God. 2220, you're going to hear God's voice the way it's never been heard before. And what does Revelation chapter 4, what does John say? He says, I heard a voice like a trumpet say what? Come up here. He heard the 222 of God, but now in what John heard was 2220, because he said, I heard a voice say, come up here. And he said, immediately I was standing and I saw the throne of God, right? So that voice is in Genesis. God wants you to know it's in Genesis, because he wants you to know, how could I put this in Genesis and in Psalms 121 at the same time to let you know that I'm right on point with what I'm doing, okay? We're gonna go over how this is. Okay. Now watch this. We'll get into it tomorrow. There's another number that's also in Genesis, and I'm going to show you that number because we're going to go over it very detailed tomorrow. This number right here, 2294, is also in Genesis. So that means this big clue that everything is going to be revealed to you, and you're going to see God face to face, and you're going to know him face to face. That number is in Genesis. Then where else does it show up? In Psalms 117. Then where else does it show up? In Psalms 119, verse 88 and 89. So it's telling you, he's coming down, he's taking you up, I'm giving you the numbers, but I didn't give it to you in Psalms, I gave it to you in Genesis. And that's what we're going to look at tomorrow in the Hebrew class, because you have to see that like, why come you can't do it tonight? You can watch it, Beth. But yeah, it's there. I'll give you a clue of how it's done. Okay. Now, okay. All of Genesis is 37 times 73 equals 2,701. Notice that God multiplies it by 37. The ultimate number of 37 is to turn it back on itself, 73. What is the 7? Spiritual perfection. That's God. What is 3? Perfect Trinity. So 37 is the number of God. And it's permeated like throughout all the scriptures. 37 is the. So God does this. He takes this last word, he takes this word, the middle word, and then these two front words, and he adds those together. And then, so you got this, then he skips over that. He uses this, then he skips over that, and he uses the first two. And then those numbers together equal 2,220, but guess what they are? 37 times 60. What's 60? Semek. What's Semek? 120. What's 20? 120. The church. The pillars. Okay? So God uses this number, but this number is based off 60 times 37, which 60 is the Semek, and 60 is 120, which is what? The pillars, the church, the foundation of the church. So God is like, in Genesis, I'm putting my voice is going to speak, but who's it speaking to? The church. And so he does it with the other numbers. So he's giving you specific numbers so that you can see they're placed in other verses so that you can see he planned it before. Prepare yourself and be ready for what's coming. Okay? Can I read one more scripture, Pastor Ben? Okay. Let's go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Verse 13. Any knucklehead that tells you, oh, there's no rapture, there's no such thing as a rapture, is just really ignoring scripture. This is God's plan. This is how he plans to take the church out of the world before tribulation. Okay? This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to let my church be there, and they're going to witness, and they're going to win souls, and they're going to go fishing, and they're going to gather 153 fish. And once they gather all the fish, I'm going to go down, then I'm going to call them up, and they're going to meet me in the clouds, and then I'm going to go back up to the Father's house, and we're going to get married. That's God's plan. Okay? So here it is. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive and are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. That's that 222, right? With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So the rapture is supposed to be an encouragement. That's the first thing. And he's telling you just how he's going to do it. It doesn't matter that nobody believes. The word says that God is watching out over his word to make sure that every bit of it comes true. So it doesn't matter, rather, an event happens, or this happens, or the sky turned red this morning, so now I think Jesus is coming. None of that counts for anything. Everything is in the word of God, and our focus is supposed to be on the word of God. And so I'm seeing that God put his voice in Genesis. God put that he's going to be revealed and we're going to know him face to face in Genesis. But in 2220, he gives us the year in Psalms 121, because we know that's 5782, September to September. And so here we are. And then we'll go to through this tomorrow and you'll see all the 22 links that are linked to this year, and you'll just go, what is God doing? Why is he giving us all this information? So that you'll be ready. If you're watching the right thing, and the right thing to watch is the word of God, not the events, but the word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word tonight. Help us to keep our eyes on your word. Help us to keep our heart on you, in you, Christ Jesus, the word made flesh. Father, help us not to be overly focused on the signs, or your word is telling us that you're coming soon. So help us to preach the gospel, to share with those who don't know you, your love, your grace, your mercy, and your truth. Use us, Lord. Help us to be vessels of honor. May we be ready to stand before you, to be found worthy to escape all these things that shall soon come to pass. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give Pastor Sandy rest tonight. Speak to him tonight so that he could bring us your word tomorrow. May we be ready to receive from you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Sorry, Lisa, right? That's a hard Bible study for your first Bible study. But I tried to. Yeah. So tomorrow, I have to do the first part, second part first, because first part of YouTube.